And opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call in today, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Today is a Friday. What are we doing over the weekend? Those things that we can do, those things that make Fairbanks special. Well, there's a event that happens every year in Fairbanks that is very special, and I have in the studio with me here Steve Cox. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, David.
And you're a ice carver, but retired ice carver with Ice Alaska.
That's correct.
So, okay, let's, it's not that you're not, how do I explain this? You went from production to pit crew. You take care of everyone's equipment.
Right. I take care of chisels and chainsaws. Yeah. So they don't have to do it.
And you just decided to do that yourself.
Yes.
Saw the need. Here you are. You came up. You're not going to be pulling out the chainsaw, going with Makita, anything like that. But you still want to be around the people.
Correct.
Good for you.
Thank you.
How long have you been doing this? How many times, you know, Fairbanks, we had a pretty good conversation before he came on the air, and this man's amazing. You've been up to 11 different competitions.
Yes, yes, since 1999.
What's your highest placement?
First.
Sometimes I ask a stupid question. Okay.
Yeah, no.
So you're one of the top guys, usually.
Maybe. I wouldn't say that usually, yeah.
And today, the multi-block competition opened up for competition.
Correct.
How many multi-blocks does it look like they're going to be?
It looks like we have seven teams and a really tough field. There's some really amazing teams this year. So it's really going to be up in the air as to who can complete their piece, you know, to the best.
Where do... You know, I'm sure you have a local team or two. Where do other teams come from?
Japan, China, Australia, Europe, all over the world, really. Russia. They come from everywhere to carve that big ice.
So the first 6 days, as you were telling me, is the multi-block.
Correct.
Then there's 2 days off. Hmm. Then they go to the double block.
Correct.
And then the single block.
Correct.
And how many teams are in the double and the single, or do you know?
I'm not sure, but the double will be probably 15 to 20 teams. It's always more because everybody splits up.
Yeah.
And somewhere 15 to 20 teams.
And the single, who knows?
Who knows? Who's ever standing? Who's ever left standing?
Yeah. So it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, yes. There's nothing easy about it.
You're out there in the elements for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Outside.
Work until you drop.
Yes, yes.
And this morning it was 15 below.
Yes, it was. And that means in the woods it's at least 20 below.
That's because that's where you're at.
Yep, in the campground. And, yeah, it was very cold this morning.
So, but your background, you, Fairbanks, he was telling me he's from Seattle. Steve is from Seattle. And he did this as a profession for 35 years.
Correct.
How do you get into that profession? I mean, what drew you into it?
Most people kind of get there accidentally.
Yeah.
I went to culinary school, was working at a major hotel in Seattle. That's where I got involved, exposed to ice sculpture, which is where many of the sculptors are exposed to it. And just eventually got a chance to try it and found out, I can do this, and just pursued it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you said, the low-hanging fruit is
in weddings.
Work. Weddings. The bridezilla dealing with.
That's right. Yep. You do that as long as you can.
Till you get corporate.
Yep.
You move up the ladder.
That's right. Yep. Corporate is, bigger budgets, bigger pieces. And there's just a lot of companies in a metropolitan area.
And a different mentality.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's for a corporate, so you got a logo, you got an enterprise, you got something that they do.
And a budget.
And a budget. Yeah. The wedding, it's whoa, budget's getting slashed. I want you to do everything in the world for no cost at all.
Right.
And I want it perfect.
Yeah. And the ice sculpture is the first thing to go when the bride realizes she doesn't have enough money for all that stuff she wants.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you made it through that.
Mm-hmm.
You had your own shop, so how do you get your ice?
Most ice carvers in the lower 48 make their ice. It's called a Kleinbell machine, so everybody refers to it as Kleinbell ice. It's 40 inches tall, 20 inches wide, 10 inches thick, 300-pound block. And that's the standard for most ice carvers.
Okay.
And you'll buy those and make your own ice at your shop.
So you have your own freezer?
Yeah, multiple.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And say a corporate event, how many of those would you need? You have those ice blocks?
It depends on the time. Our ice never turns off. Yeah. We can't make enough. Can't make enough ice. We're constantly making ice 24 hours a day.
How many people are in your company?
There's about 7. But it is no longer my company.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. You're retired, yep.
Yep. But it is my son's company now.
Yes. Okay. The gene pool.
Yes, absolutely. Good. Second generation.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is really awesome.
Yeah, he learned it from the bootstraps.
Yes, he did.
That is great.
Yep.
So you've come up here 11 times. What's the coldest you've ever had to carve in?
Really about minus 40. And then it's you just can't do that very long. it's pretty darn cold.
Yeah.
You know, it's mittens with warmers. The gloves don't work anymore.
No.
And you just got to be moving all the time. You can't stop.
Combat.
It is. Oh, man.
Yeah. This is how I spent my winter vacation.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. I have Steve Cox in the studio with me. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
You've sat in that chair for years. You love that chair. But something isn't right. There's a wiggle that wasn't there. Now you're missing a cap screw that definitely was there. Need a fastener? If it hooks up, holds on, hangs on, clips on, glues on, bolts on, screws in. If it fastens stuff together, Sentry has it. And the largest selection of nuts, bolts, screws, and washers in the interior. Standard to metric, chrome, galvanized, stainless. Sentry Hardware. What you need right now.
Men all over town are raving about Fairbanks Urology.
I had to go to the emergency room, and they realized that my bladder was blocked, and so they put a catheter inside of me. It was very awkward until I came here to Fairbanks Urology. The surgery that he came up with was totally not invasive. About 2 weeks later, the catheter was able to be removed. I think the man's a saint, honestly. Really, for what he's done for me.
Make the call today, 328-0989 for Fairbanks Urology.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with snow likely. Highs around 10 above. Northerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Snow likely again tonight. Lows level off around 1 above. Cloudy skies. Chance for snow tomorrow 18. A dusting of snow today with another inch or two tomorrow night through Sunday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Steve Cox with Ice Alaska in the studio here with me. So you retired, sold or gave the company to your kid. So he got a good value and you didn't get a good price no matter what happens when it's that way.
Right.
That's fine. It's your company.
Fine. Yeah.
And you decide to take your winter vacation by being the pit crew, the tool guy up here in Fairbanks, Alaska. That's great.
Yeah, for 6 weeks.
So what sort of tools do you see come in?
Lots of different tools. You know, the chainsaws are pretty much normal.
Yeah.
And we sharpen them a certain way to cut ice. Mm-hmm. But it's really fun to see all the different chisels. There's a lot of older Japanese ice carving chisels, and then there's everything else.
Scrapers, chisels, axes, hatchets.
Anything that will work. Yeah, and there's all kinds of, there's some really deadly stuff out there, but it works. Yeah.
Some Viking type stuff or some samurai.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Medieval looking items.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to let it get away from you, I'll tell you that.
No. So you've been in 11, you were in 11 competitions, or was this the 11th time you've been up here?
11 competitions, yeah.
Okay. Now, your first one, mm-hmm. What was the shock value of that like?
Oh, you get up here for the first time, you think you know it all, and you get up here and you see that ice and you don't even know what to do. You just look at it and go, my saw is not big enough.
Yeah. How big is the block?
When I first started coming up here, the blocks were 8 feet tall, 6 feet wide, and the thickness of the ice, which is usually 32 to 36 inches. And that's just a big piece of ice. They're 6 foot by 4 foot now, but still a very large piece of ice. And it's very hard because that minus 20 degree makes that ice much, much harder to carve. So it's different up here.
It's not soft ice at 10 above.
No, and it does make a difference.
Yeah.
It absolutely does.
So how did you decide to say to yourself, I'm going to go up to Alaska and try this in 1999?
Well, I had heard about it. I wanted to come up.
Yeah.
And so I had a friend who was a sculptor, and he had a team, and he asked me if I'd come up with him. So I did, and it was a complete failure, but
we learned.
Yeah, we learned, and you just keep coming back, and then suddenly the ice isn't quite as big as it looked before, and you just start learning how to manipulate it and how to use heavy machinery to move it.
Did you ever break anything with heavy machinery?
Oh, yeah.
Then you have to repair it.
Or replace it, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually when you break something with that, it's a catastrophic break. You're not going to be able to repair it. It's not a
recovery, yeah.
Nope.
Oh, my goodness. How many people would be on a multi-block team with you?
4 people for the duration.
Okay.
No substitutions. It's 4 people.
Would you have it, like, designated what people were doing, or?
They decide, but before the competition, they do have to submit their drawings and make sure it's been approved that they can sculpt it.
Do you have a team captain who's given the overall direction? And
absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, I'd hate to see 4 artists going at it with all these medieval implements without direction.
Yeah, no, believe me, all the artists need direction.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And it takes you 6 days. Mm-hmm. Is there any, like, 3, 2, 1, I'm done, oh my God, I wasn't done?
Well, it, the first 2-3 days, you hardly even touch a chisel because you're just moving these massive pieces, getting them into place, getting basic stuff done. But when you get to the fine carving, you know, you know that if you make big mistakes, you're going backwards.
Yeah.
So you settle down and start, you know, sculpting the way you know how.
When was the first time you won first place? And in what competition? What type of competition?
That was 2013, my only first, part of my only first. And it was a 20-foot long dragon that was guarding a princess, and it was really fun. Big teeth, and it was not a nice dragon, but but it was very fulfilling to get completed.
Yeah. And then right after that, you're going into the 2-block competition or the 1-block competition.
Yeah, you get 2 days off, and yeah, that's brutal.
Recovery.
Yeah.
Sleep.
Kind of.
Hydrate.
Right.
Food intake.
Yes.
Sort of do the Nirvana moment. What was I thinking?
Oh yeah, there's lots of those. Absolutely.
I believe it. So this year, with all the teams, when's the first? Does all the judging happen in one day?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, for each individual competition.
Okay.
It will end. The carving will end. Everybody has to be out of their sight with all their stuff out, and then everybody is removed from the carving area, and then the judges come in.
How many judges are there?
There's 4 or 5 judges usually. The hardest job out there is judging.
What sort of past skill set do they bring in?
Hopefully a lot of sculpture, mm-hmm. a knowledge of just art and sculpture in general. Doesn't have to be ice.
Mm-hmm.
It helps a lot if they have dealt with some ice, which most of them have. But it's it's just art knowledge and use of the medium.
Yeah. You
know, knowing what they can do.
How long before, you know, if you came up in, say, 2005, when would you start planning and prepping?
Year before. Yeah. You got to get your team together. Then you got to come up with an idea. And typically you're doing this long distance.
Yeah.
Because everybody's in different parts of the country. So it can take a while.
When you came up on your first one, how did you all get together?
My captain was from Portland, so I was able to drive down to Portland and go to a couple meetings with them.
Okay.
And then just
figured out from there. What was the first? What did you draw that first time?
It was a. There were some. It was like fairies inside bubbles, and it was absolutely amazing. But we crashed a number of pieces, so it would have been amazing. But yeah,
But you learned.
We learned. Learned what you can and can't do.
Did you come back again with the same team, or did you have a few substitutions?
Different team. Yep. Okay. I went with a different team and just like to carve with different people.
Yeah.
Because you just learn from everyone, you know, no matter what. And so it's always nice to carve with people that you get to know and work well with. Not everybody works well together.
No, they don't.
No.
No, they don't. So you come out of culinary school, you're working at hotels, and you're starting to carve ice.
Mm.
When did you make the break, and how did you do it?
It took me about a year and a half, and in my situation, the person that got me started was an apprentice, so he was shipped off to another hotel, and they said, well, you do it now, okay? And you just kind of figure it out. It's not really not sure.
All of a sudden, did you start putting all the pieces together over time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. And people would come up, you know, what are you doing? You've been doing that a long time? I said, no, just a little while.
Or someone said, can you do that for me?
Right. And that's really how it starts. Oh, my brother's daughter's wedding. And it was started with hotel employees that we did stuff for them, and then it just grew. Back in those days, I picked up the phone book and called all the caterers in Seattle.
There you go.
It was a good start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what I do.
Yeah. That's right.
So did you start by yourself, or, you know, you said you had seven employees. How do you grow?
It was me for a long time.
Yeah.
All by myself. And eventually, you know, we ended up with more business and were able to hire people and, for one, to get everything delivered in the right place. Because everything's done ahead of time.
Yeah.
And then a couple hours before, everybody runs out with their trucks and sets them up.
And you told me an incredible number. You do 1,000 a year, or is it 100 a month?
Yeah, easily 1,000 a year, I'm sure. It's.
So you got crews doing individual ones and then probably set up crew and...
Absolutely. Absolutely. And tear down crews, and it's a lot of logistics, and they're very time sensitive. Very.
With a frozen product.
That's right.
And but you know, it melts and it goes away, and there you go.
And all done.
So do you have to, can you just leave the ice there, or do you got to bring the ice back to shop and let it go? It
depends on the situation. Most of the time it goes into the loading dock, you know, of the hotel or wherever, and it melts away by the next day.
What hotel did you start with?
I worked at the Westin Hotel in Seattle. Yeah. Made it for 2 years.
The corporate entity.
Yes.
Oh, boy. What was probably your most elegant sculpture that you did that you remember the most? This was my best.
I got to do one for a princess of Sweden, and she was in Seattle, and it was a very ornate piece that I had to construct and figure out how to do it. And it was very large, lots of pieces that went together to combine it. And that was a nice one. I enjoyed it.
How much carving time did you have on it?
Oh, days and days.
Days and days.
In different components, and, you know, just keep working through it. And then a lot of time to put it together once we got there.
Yeah. I believe it.
Yeah.
And how did they find you?
Typically through hotels or, you know, website these days. And but we always worked very closely with country clubs, hotels, event, anybody event-based, caterers, event planners. They all knew us. Yes.
Well, it's a very small society.
It is.
And so... but you work, you're involved in a very large society. You're a small segment of it.
Right.
You know, the hotel industry, you know, their presentations, their events. And, okay, now we have to have the ice carving out there for the elegance of it.
Yeah.
Who does that? Well, it's usually our own people or uh-uh.
Yes. Yeah. And it used to be most of it was done in-house back before we started. And now they pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Just like everything else, we do it every day.
Yeah.
We know what we're doing. You're not going to have mistakes.
And you have a good working relationship with them after a while.
Yes.
How many companies in Seattle do what you do?
There's three, I think, now. Yeah, three or four.
So if someone wanted to get into it, there's room in a metropolitan area to do this.
Definitely. Yeah, there's definitely room.
Yep. And right now you're the keeper of the implements.
Yes. Yes. Which I'm fine with.
Yeah. And do you see that you know what the people are bringing in? Oh yeah, I know why they're using that.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break here. We're going to give you some bumper music. It's U2 Vertigo, whatever that is. Then we're going to go into some Fox News, some state news, some KFAR news, the Alaska Minute, some commercials, some weather, and then we'll be back.
On KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Those five former Memphis cops have entered pleas in court in the death of Tyree Nichols.
All five of the former Memphis police officers charged in the beating death of Tyree Nichols have pleaded not guilty. Blake Ballin is the attorney for former officer Desmond Mills Jr. and says the legal system must make sure the officers don't face injustice.
My client is a black man in a courtroom in America. This is a country where black people are incarcerated at five times the rate of white people.
Attorney Ben Crump represents Nichols' family and says while he believes the officers should have their day in court, he doesn't want delays in the case. The next court date is set for May.
Fox's Tonya J. Powers. Officials say the military has completed recovering what's left of that Chinese spy balloon that was shot out of the sky off the South Carolina coast 2 weeks ago. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports Alaska's largest school district repeatedly and inappropriately secluded and restrained students with disabilities, the U.S. Department of Justice said Thursday, following an investigation into alleged violations of the Americans with Disabilities Act. According to an agreement reached between the Justice Department and Anchorage Schools, the district will eliminate the use of seclusion at all schools and ensure that students are only restrained when there is imminent danger of serious physical harm to the student or to another person. Anchorage School District Superintendent Jarrett Bryant addressed the agreement with the public on Thursday. Despite state law and the district's own policy, and contrary to generally accepted practice, the district did not limit its use of restraint and seclusion to emergency situations, a statement from the Justice Department said. Rather, the district used restraint and seclusion to address noncompliant student behavior, resulting in students missing large amounts of instructional time. The department said the Anchorage School District fully cooperated with the investigation, which began in November of 2020.
Online at
KFAR660.com. At Batteries Plus, they do more than fix phones and tablets. They help our neighbors power their lives. Visit Batteries Plus in-store, curbside, and online at batteriesplus.com.
Hey Fairbanks, North Pole. There are burn rules and alerts to keep you, your neighbors, and your buddies safe and healthy on bad air days. A stage one alert means no burning without a waiver. A stage 2 alert means no burning unless you have a no other source of heat waiver. Remember, no burning until the alert is over. There's more info at fnsbairalert.com. A message from the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation.
If your home needs replacement windows or patio doors, do you want to know the window company that more than 5,700 Alaska homeowners chose to replace their windows? That's right. It's Renewal by Anderson. I'm Chris Dunn from Renewal by Anderson. Don't settle for inferior vinyl windows. Our composite window material is 2 times stronger than vinyl and will help keep your home more comfortable. Right now, buy one window or patio door and get one 40% off. Plus, with our Smart Pay programs, don't pay anything for a year. Renewal by Anderson window and patio doors are the most trusted in Alaska. And that's just one of the many reasons why more than 5,700 Alaska homeowners have chosen us. Call before February 28th to schedule a free consultation with Renewal by Anderson and get a price that's good for an entire year. Call 885-3100. 885-3100. That's 885-3100.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Steve Cox in the studio with me, ice carver, but now equipment manager.
Tool man.
You sharpen Viking warrior tools.
Yes. Yeah.
Something like that.
Incredibly sharp. Yes.
And how often do you know when you were competing, how often would you have to resharpen your tools?
It's really kind of a matter of how you treat your tools. Mm-hmm. You know, how many times they hit the ground or hit a little rock or whatever, hit another tool will ding it. So, you know, there are some guys out there that hone their tools every night, and so they're perfectly sharp.
Yeah.
And there's others that are struggling with dull tools too. So we're trying to solve that part. But yeah, it takes a lot of care to keep them really at optimum sharpness.
And that makes it makes your job easier at 15 below.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it does.
How many, the food consumption during something like this, how many, like, calories do you have to bring into your body to get through this?
I don't know the calorie count, but I will tell you that every carver that comes up here, they all say the same. I've never eaten so much in my life, and I'm hungry for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah.
I've never eaten those quantities. So your body just kicks in and
burns through.
Makes you eat. Yeah, it's crazy. But you need it.
Yeah.
Nobody gets fat out here.
And how much coffee do you go through?
Lots.
Constant, I'm sure.
Yeah, we're waiting for the IV drip, you know, of coffee. It would be nice.
And you're being from Seattle, you know, you probably have a fastidious thought on coffee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's... Yes, there's good, there's bad.
Now, Fairbanks, I've got to bring you through this. Steve Cox, what's our most dominant restaurant style?
Here?
Yeah.
Thai. I don't know why, but it is.
And you mentioned a term like you thought we had 29, and I said, yeah, you're a little bit low.
Yeah.
29 Thai restaurants.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of Thai in Seattle, but not
as proportional.
No, not even close. Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out why. I mean, why Thai food in Fairbanks, Alaska?
I have no idea. I really don't.
And everyone has that specific place that's their place. And they'll go to other places, but they have their place.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, it's funny. Everybody's got different tastes and they like it a certain way. You know, it's no idea.
But they all operate and exist.
Yeah, they're in business and they're looks like they're all doing well.
Yeah.
And so Fairbanks has definitely grasped Thai food. Absolutely.
What sort of food do they serve you out there?
Meat and potatoes. You know, it's hearty pasta, lots of protein.
Yeah.
Lots of protein and salads.
Now, Fairbanks, if you... Tomorrow night, 5:30 to 6 on Fairbanks Foodies. I'm continuing my courses on cast iron cooking. If you want to listen and sort of like learn how to clean out your refrigerator and cook an incredible meal in cast iron and then make an incredible chicken stock, that's what I explain tomorrow night on Fairbanks Foodies from 5:30 to 6. I have to throw that out there. You know. Since we're talking food.
Right.
But they give you a lot of meat and potatoes, heavy foods.
Heavy foods, yep, and you need them.
Yeah,
lots of vegetables. Yep, nobody complains.
Well, you're physically, you know, what's your joints like? Your arms, you know, from working chisels.
Sore.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes a while to to get back up to speed every morning.
Loosen up.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. Any Ben Gay at night?
All kinds of things, anything to, yeah, all kinds of lotions and potions, you know, out there to keep those joints moving.
How many times did you say to yourself, what am I doing here? You know, I could have been in Belize. I could have been in Hawaii. I could have been in Cancun. I could have been in Italy, but I'm in Fairbanks, Alaska, and it's minus 20 below, and my hands are freezing to death.
At least once a day. My wife's getting ready to take her trip to Maui. So there will be a 100-degree difference when we talk.
We don't like her for a while now.
No.
or At least one person in your family has brains.
Yeah. Not me. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So did she accompany up here at all?
She has a couple times, has no interest in coming back. It's too cold. It's too cold.
You got a wimpy wife. Come on, man. Steve.
Well, she's not Alaskan. She's not an Alaskan woman, I'll tell you that.
Oh, boy. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely. No.
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 Well, the first time you said you were going to do this, how did she look at you?
She's like, whatever. Whatever. Go ahead.
It's you're in a business. You got to, you know, if you're in a business, mm-hmm. you got to try this once.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely you do. Because it opens your mind as to what can be done.
Yeah.
Your little world of ice carving is very small because all you know is what you've done.
Yeah.
So everybody comes up here to get, you know, energized for the year and just see new things and be around people that do the same thing.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with ice carver Steve Cox, and your name is?
This is Bubba, and I'm making sure my radio's off.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, good. All right. Question for you. I've run a chainsaw, you know, where I cut a block out of the ice in the lake, and it got all wet, down, and then I came back, it was all froze up. The blade was all froze up on the bottom.
Yep.
Okay, what solves that issue?
Well, two things. When it's all froze up, sometimes you can, you know, kind of smack the bar on the side and it'll break the bar. It'll break the chain away from the bar. If not, it may need to go inside and thaw out.
Okay, so do they use any chainsaws when they're doing the ice carving?
Oh, absolutely. All the time. And they do freeze up. And even just by sitting them there, they'll freeze up. Yeah.
They got two or three saws going.
Oh, yeah.
Time when one is thawing out. Okay, all right. The guy says, man, I watched them guys cut them big blocks out up north and get into the rivers and that for fishing.
Yep.
And they go to start it up again. I said, these guys are nuts. That don't happen.
Yeah, no, frozen solid. Yeah, we have big heaters out there where we harvest the ice to keep the saws warm.
All right, well, thanks for the answer.
Thank you for the call. You have a great weekend.
You too.
How often do you have to bring a chainsaw over to the mechanic shop?
Usually every couple of days. They're going to want a chain sharpened or if they hit something.
Yeah.
You know.
There it goes.
Yeah. And they do wear out. You know, people will. A lot of what we do is our big corded saws, electric saws, because they can get through the ice. So we don't need a lot of big gas saws, although we have some for really big cuts. But most of it is electric, and it, for the most part, they work really well.
Okay.
Yeah.
In your business, did you use chainsaws that much?
Every day.
Every day.
Much smaller.
Non-industrial style.
No, not the size we use up here. Not at all.
Well, you know, your sheet of ice is, you know, three times bigger.
Yeah.
If not four times.
It's just a totally different animal up here.
Yeah.
It really is.
And what was it like the first time you're cutting into the blue ice?
It's amazing. You know, How does this happen? Yeah, you know it's not really blue, but you would swear you're carving in blue ice, and it is very fun to sculpt blue. I mean, it's so funny. Everything that comes off isn't blue, but you know, it is really enjoyable. There's a nice sense of accomplishment, you know, doing that Arctic diamond, as they call it.
There you go. And the park opens today.
So
if you want to start seeing these seven multi-block teams carving and experience what they experience from beginning to end, this is where you start.
Absolutely.
When you were, you know, you're out there carving, and I'm sure you get a lot of people just asking you questions as you go.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of this predominantly about? How do you do this? Or
yeah, most of it is so many people can't comprehend it. They're like have no idea how you're doing what you're doing. And they can see it all happening, but there's no real secret to it. I mean, you got to get in there with your chisels and make everything happen, or your grinders, whatever it is. But you got to do it. you got to get out there and shape it and make it right. Not easy.
No.
Not easy.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com. Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs. Starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30. A look at Alaska's budding new industry brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. Followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. The Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. And later, it's Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30 p.m. To kick off our Saturday night food programming. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Seiberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at kfarradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
Weather This Hour brought to you by Long Building Technologies. Make your building the smartest around. Call Long today to find out about their building intelligence systems that will save you money. 561-3044. Or find out more at long.com.
KFAR Weather.
Snow likely today, otherwise overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 11, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight, lows dip down to about 1 above, overcast skies. High of 18, tomorrow, chance of snow. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through Sunday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Steve Cox, retired ice carver.
Correct.
Now the keeper of the tools.
Correct.
The head pit crew guy. The guy who gets to look at everyone and say, I have felt your pain and I'm not going to feel it anymore, but I'm still going to participate.
That's correct.
So basically, you're the smartest man in the field.
I kind of think so.
Have you let them know that yet?
Oh, yeah. No, they, you know, some of them are still, you know, diehards, and they want to get out there, which I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. You know, what about, what day does that 1,000-yard stare take over from fatigue, and you just got to break, get through it?
About day 4 to 5, and you wake up, and you don't know where you are. And you need about another 10 hours of sleep, and you got to get out, put your heavy clothes on, and go get cold.
Where do people stay at?
We stay at Pike's Landing. Mm-hmm. They've been a great yeah. sponsor over the years. Really great.
How many hours of sleep would you average a night?
During the competition, maybe if you get six.
That's good.
That would be a good, I would think. Yep. Yep. And it, I would say about six.
and then during your 2-day break, is it just 48 hours of sleep, recovery?
Pretty much, yeah. It's just trying to get it back. And you can get a bit recovered before it starts again.
Sounds like a SEAL team.
Yeah, kind of. It is extreme.
Yeah.
We're all kind of extreme people, that's for sure.
Yeah. What was, not including yours, what's the best multi-block competition entry you've seen? That you just said, wow, how'd they do that?
Yeah, I would say some of the earlier years, the height restriction was much higher.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the sculptures that would come out in the beginning were absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Just the scale was so big, and mythical creatures and dragons and, you know, just crazy stuff, but very, very well done.
So over time they had to put limits on it.
Yeah, the ice got a little bit smaller. The height restrictions got a little lower. And, trying to make sure that Everybody stay safe. That's the big thing. That is the key.
What's the height restriction now?
12 feet.
12 feet.
Yep. Yep. Which is still up there.
Yeah.
You're up there.
Hmm. And, you know, it just would seem like, how do you work at that height?
Scaffolding or climbing on ice. You know, it's, you got to be a bit of a monkey.
Yeah.
To be able to do this, because it's not all just right there at a perfect level for you to sculpt. You got to go get it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I believe it. My goodness.
Yeah.
Hmm. Do you think you'll ever return to competition?
Yeah, probably. You know, I got out of it this year, but yeah, I don't know.
But I had to attend. I'm tired of being the tool boy.
Yeah. No, I... Yeah, there's a team I could end up on again. Yes.
Never say never.
Never say never. No.
Oh, boy.
You just never know.
Yeah, boy, so you're basically, every day you're getting up and you're running a half marathon.
Oh, yeah.
Every day.
Every day. Just to give you an idea, I have a watch with a step. Yeah. You're on it, right? And once competition stops, you average 25 to 30,000 steps a day. That's just your steps.
Yeah.
That's not climbing or grabbing a saw. That's none of the other physical labor. That's just the steps.
So what do you tell people who give you calls and say, I'm gonna do this for the first time? What's your advice? You know, get in shape and buy clothes up here, don't bring them up.
Yeah, that's one of my big things, you know, because it, depending on where people are from, they just can't get those clothes. If they're where it's warm, they don't have them. The only thing hard about here is when people get up here to buy their winter clothes, the spring sale is already happening. So we're freezing, and they're closing out, you know, all the winter gear, which
you
can be good.
You should have been here in October, November.
Right, when it's all new and fresh, yeah. We did learn that.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Note to self.
But it's always a better place to pick up your gear. It really is.
What type of boots would you wear?
I use Baffin boots.
Yep.
You know, I Canadians know how to make boots. I'm very happy with them.
They've got a lot of Arctic area there.
Yes, they do.
It's north of the continental United States.
Yes.
It's all north.
Everything is north.
Yeah. Sometimes their attitude is a little bit north, too. What the heck? So how many different teams have you partaken in? 11 competitions, how many different teams? 11?
They've always been different makeups. But
yeah.
Some of the main, you know, I was with a couple different captains numerous times.
Yeah.
And then you just move around depending on, you know, what people want or who needs what, and whether you want to work with them.
Yeah. Know. What makes a good captain that you liked?
Someone who cares about the whole team.
Yeah.
That's really important because it's as much mental as it is physical to get through this thing.
Yeah.
And you've got to have somebody who cares about everybody and is aware of where they are, you know, physically and mentally.
Yeah, go take a half-hour break. I got this.
Absolutely. And you need to do that.
I mean,
some people will just push, and that can self-destruct.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
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 You know, I'm only working for 12 straight days at 15 below
right.
for 18 hours a day.
Right.
I might get a little bit surly.
Oh, yeah. That happens, believe me. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and you guys are fairly intelligent people.
Well,
yeah, you are.
I think so.
Yeah, you are. Except for this one trait.
Right.
Thank God you're doing it because it is fantastic.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Do you find that the locals come up and are appreciative of you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They appreciate everything we're doing out there.
Yeah.
Yep. And we enjoy making it, you know, for them. So they're having fun and everybody's having fun.
And the organization, they, you know, they try and get you good housing, you know, with mm-hmm. Jay Ramrass, good food, good event,
yep.
good backup, good equipment. Do you come up with any of your own equipment, or is it all up here, or most people come up with probably specific tools?
Oh, yeah. Most people bring their own saws, their own chisels. Yeah. You need your own stuff.
So when you're in SeaTac Airport,
mm-hmm.
and you know that the inspector is going through your suitcase with this, what are you thinking to yourself? Does this guy think, you know, I'm like a serial killer?
Yeah. Well, you know, as long as you're putting all your razor sharp chisels in your checked bag,
yeah.
you're okay. But, you know, the backpacks that are going through, I always get pulled over. It's like, what do you got in here? A lot. But I think I think everything is okay.
I think it's all legal, but
yeah.
I'm going to Alaska. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, I understand that now.
Right. No, and they have been, you know, they do understand. You know, just tell them what I'm doing and where I'm going, and they're like, yeah, okay.
So your progression, a year out, you're making a decision to come.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting your team together. What is the time frame when you start saying, this is the design? Is it 6 months out? Is it 3 months out? Is it 3 weeks out?
Yeah.
All the above?
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's people that are really well prepared and there's people that aren't. And, you know, the from November till the end of January, all the ice carvers are busy because the holiday season is very busy for everyone.
Yeah.
So we don't have time to really work on it during December, which is when we should be working on it. So it either has to be done ahead of time, and anything that isn't is done last minute, which happens a lot.
You know, we're in the middle of February, so yeah.
Yeah.
And we just had the Super Bowl, so there's a lot of those carvings that need to be done for the Super Bowl at the parties.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
So basically, you get done with your busiest season, and you come up here to do this.
Right. No break. Yeah. Straight into this. Yeah. But we love it. We love the torture. I don't know why. Can't explain it.
I love sheep hunting. I like to climb mountains, you know.
Yeah.
Other people like Craig Comp, he goes and gets in a boat and shoots a cow moose, you know. I go climb a mountain and shoot a doll sheep ram.
Oh, yeah.
You hear that, Craig? Buddy of mine. Anyway. But that's what you do.
That's what we do. Yep, absolutely. And we love it.
So when you get back home, is there like a week recovery period or a few days recovery period?
Usually about 2 weeks where you just don't even want to get off the couch. But you just have to, yeah, it takes a while to recover. It does. I think Fairbanks Airport is the only airport that I have slept on the floor. And I was fine doing it.
I would think so, my goodness. And, you know, for the people who really like coming from Australia, Japan, China,
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, 2 days of plane trips.
Brutal. Yes. Yes. There was a gentleman I was talking to yesterday, and he's totally flipped. You know, he lost a day, and he doesn't know which way's up because of the time change. It can be really rough for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy. Never thought of that one, but
oh, yeah.
It's part of the equation.
Even the East Coast, you know, it's 4 hours difference.
Yeah.
That makes a big difference.
So today's the first day that it opens.
Yep.
7 multi-block teams, probably about 15 two-block teams. So there's going to be a whole lot of, for the next month, a whole lot of ice art going on.
Absolutely. And it's really worth not just making one trip out to the ice park.
Yeah.
You need, you know, the pass that you can go multiple times is really the thing to do, because ice carving is not a great spectator sport. It's slow, you know, so you don't see things happen quickly. But if you go in and then you come back a couple days later and see it, it's like, oh my gosh, look mm-hmm. what they did.
Well, Steve, that's our show. You're smiling. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Greatly appreciate your time. And thank you for coming up here. And
you're
I'm
welcome.
Glad that, you know, Fairbanks has been an attraction for you so many times.
Well, thank you.
Means well for us.
And I enjoy being here. Thank you for having me.
Fairbanks, you have a great weekend. I will see you later.